Welcome to another episode of Out of the Pods. I'm Deep T.
And I'm Natalie. And welcome back, Deep T. She literally just landed from Spain. And an hour later, here she is.
Here I am. I feel like I've lived a whole life from last episode to this episode. Like, I'm not sure how I'm even alive because it was a 9-hour flight.
You know what, though? That's not bad. That is not bad.
It's pretty bad.
Okay. I was going to say, I was trying to make you feel better.
I know. You're so nice. As soon as I landed, I knew we had to, have a little chit chat. So I chugged a coffee with an extra shot of espresso. So here we are.
She's going to share the latest and greatest. Like, I want all the updates. Did you find a man out there? Like, what happened?
You know what's hilarious is I always, when I'm on vacation, I like to save all my stories for you. I will literally write them in the notes app. But the one thing I had to tell you was I did go on a dating app in Spain. I don't know what it is about the men that I met in Spain that I was just like, oh my God, everyone's so sweet here. I love the accent. I was like, I'm going to get on.
You met people from the dating app in Spain?
No. Let me correct. Because I was there with one other friend. I thought that would be really rude to just be like, hey, goodbye. I'm going to go meet up with this person.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I don't know why, but I was really inclined to join a dating app and just to see, like, you know, who's out there and why not in Spain, you know?
100%. Like, international options.
Exactly.
I'm here for it.
So when I created the account, I put Spain as my location. Granada is where I was. So I was like, I'm just going to do it. And I'm not going to lie, there is definitely a cultural shock element to it because it was hard to decipher what people were saying to me.
Because they thought you were a local?
Yes. Well, they didn't think that I was a local because my name was, you know, Deep D.
And you look Indian.
Indian. But every single prompt was in Spanish. So I'm literally like, I just had Google Translate up. I'm like, what are they saying?
You're like, oh, look, almost.
You know, okay, so I'm not used to being on a dating app and like to start the conversation. I didn't know what to say. So every single one, I was just like, hola. And they're straight up talking to me in Spanish. So I was trying to have like fun conversations with them, but I'm not going to lie, there was a culture shock element to it.
Yeah. No, Was it just to just see what was out there?
Yes. I just wanted to just have a good time, you know, like if, you know, something happened and I met someone really cool, cool. But I was there for literally 5 days and I was just like, let me just join. But now my entire app is full of men from Spain and I don't know what to do with myself because there's like 20 people I started a conversation with and I just don't know how to end it.
You move your location back to Chicago.
I know, but I don't want to do that because, you know, men in Chicago.
I know that they speak English and you'd be able to understand them and conversate with them.
I know. One of the guys, you're gonna laugh at this. One of the guys was audio messaging me the whole time.
I love that.
And I was like, I was trying to be like full transparency. I was like, hey, like I'm here just visiting, FYI. Yeah. He was like, let's meet up. And I was like, by the way, I'm leaving in like, you know, tomorrow. And he went on a 2-minute spiel about how much he hates the United States and how he would never even come back to visit. So I was like, end conversation for life because this is not going to work.
100%. Yeah. You know what? I'm all about these like international relationships. Like think about Lizzie McGuire. Have you ever watched a Lizzie McGuire movie and she meets Paul?
Yes.
That is my dream sort of like love story.
Yeah, except for Paolo was not a good guy, but
true.
I get it.
But I love that tinge of like language barrier. Because imagine getting into a little argument with someone.
Oh,
it's like, beautiful. You know, I don't really understand what you're saying. You sound mad, but I'm not offended because I don't know what the fuck you're saying to me.
Exactly. You're like, everything just sounds so beautiful out of your mouth. I don't care that you're mad at me.
Like, I'd be like, oh my gosh, keep yelling at me in Spanish.
He's like, you American.
You know? So like I'm all about it. Like I love when like, you know, I love a good language barrier. I'm not going to lie.
No, I think it's actually so beautiful. And like every single person that we met there, waiters, even everyone at our hotel, like I think that's what inspired me to join. Cause I was just like, oh my God, you are the most beautiful man ever. And you're so sweet. Like I was like, they just don't make them like that in America, you know? And
they just don't make them like that.
They don't. Like chivalry is so dead here in the States. And in Spain, it's very much alive.
It's so true. It is very true. I do feel like chivalry is dead. I feel like I'm opening doors for the men I'm going on dates with. Like I'm the one opening the car door. Absolutely. I'm the one being like, you know, pushing out their seat when they're about to sit at the table. I feel like I'm the one doing that these days.
Yeah. You're like, oh, I'll handle the bill. It's fine.
I know.
You just be a passenger princess. I'll pick you up.
I know. And I was like, do you want me to like call you an Uber home too? Like, what's going on here?
You're the one walking them home.
No, literally.
You're like, I know the Chicago streets. Okay. I can protect you. So I'm going to ask you after this episode, how do I end these conversations? Because there's a lot of them that I've initiated that now I'm just like, oh no, I might just delete that.
Disappear.
It just disappear. They're like, well, that was fun.
I feel like you just say, okay, adios.
Adios. Yeah.
Hi. You know, that's it.
Yeah, that's exactly.
You know what? I love that you went on a dating app. It has been my biggest dream for you to be on a dating app because I'm on a dating app, and what's the point of having a dating app when you can't share dating app stories with your friends? Like, that's no fun.
Exactly. Especially with our pod besties, right? I am very excited, and I knew that you would be very happy that I joined an app. And I do have to say, it got me really excited about finding a partner. So maybe it'll stick. We'll see.
Yeah.
The men better be as good as the ones in Spain. Men in Europe dress so much better than men here in the States. They're wearing like linen white pants with button-up shirts. It is so chic. It is so attractive. And I'm like, oh, whoever my future husband is, I will be dressing him in European attire.
But on the flip side, when men in Europe dress better, it means women in Europe dress better. And they're wearing matching pajamas to bed, not an oversized tee from 2007 that I wear. Yes. And raggedy ass shorts.
Yep, absolutely. The fact that, okay, I was thinking about this. Me and my friend went to go get coffee in the morning and we're like, we're just going to go do a quick coffee run. We'll be right back type of situation.
Yeah.
We just so bummy, like just wearing leggings. I did not find one person wearing leggings. Like everyone is dressed to go out. You don't wear like pajamas or slacks or sweatpants. Never. And never. I just felt so like icky doing that. But you're totally right. We have to up our own fashion game if we expect it from the men.
Yeah, I'm like thinking of the men and be like, they dress so much better like abroad and they're nicer and whatever. And I was like, meanwhile.
Meanwhile.
You're probably looking at me being like, what? A gross American.
No, truly. No, I bet you they were thinking the exact same thing of me. I was like, okay, I can't wear leggings out ever.
I know. Like, you know when you were wearing like a sweatsuit and flip-flops?
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like walking around like, I feel like that's the attire of Chicago spring.
Absolutely.
And yet like that's disgusting in Europe.
Oh yeah,
like you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
So I'm just like
I definitely got looks and I was like, oh okay. And then I started dressing better. But yeah, I still can't believe I went to Europe for 5 days and came back. Like, who do I think I am?
You're deep even Patty,
living my best life. And I'm really glad I did it.
Yeah.
It was a good time.
Well, I'm glad you're back because so much has happened while you were in Spain. These are the times I live for when the LIB news cycle is on a high. So much LIB news and we've got to talk about it.
Oh, absolutely. I can't even believe every time I opened a social media app, there was like new things popping up. The first thing that shooketh to me is Colleen and Matt from season 3 of Love is Blind announced their separation after 4 years together. And honestly, this news did not surprise me because weirdly, I was seeing a bunch of videos, like TikTok videos from Colleen, and I noticed that she never had her ring on. And I think a lot of fans were speculating that they weren't together anymore. So when I saw this announcement, it didn't really like, you know, surprise me too much.
I am close LIB friends with Colleen. I have shared a hotel room with her. I've hung out with her. She is so beautiful, so kind, and so inclusive. We were with a group of people, and you could tell she makes sure that like everyone is involved and heard and they're getting attention to. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that says a lot about a person, like how kind they are. And so I think that she's going to be on the up. I'm so excited for her to be in this like single era. Obviously, mm-hmm. you know, there's going to be a healing period, but I was like, you know what? You're still young. You're beautiful. You have a great personality. Like, it can only go up from here.
Yeah. I also feel like people are always hard on couples who break up or get divorces. Yeah. And it's frustrating because they always take a side, or they're like, we always knew Matt was this way, or like Colleen's this way. And there's just a lot of like, I don't know, speculation on what happened and yada, yada. You know, all the rumors like go around. But I think I'm glad that they took their time to announce it so that they can kind of heal and figure out where they're going in life. Because, you know, obviously it takes time when you separate. And especially when the public is involved, it's nice to just kind of take a break from the noise, I feel like. So I'm sure she's getting like a lot of, I don't know, messages coming her way. So
yeah. I mean, I feel like she announced it at a great time. I know she didn't time it to like be announced at this period, but there's so much happening in the Love is Blind world that I feel like, you know, this kind of, I'm not saying it got swept under the rug, but I feel like no one's like harping on this news because, again, so much is happening. There's like baby announcements happening and other drama. Mm-hmm. What I will say is, like, I was thinking about when we talked about how you just know when like a couple is going through something because all of a sudden they're not posting together as much and like their social media activity changes.
Yep.
And I was like, yep. I'm telling you, like, when people know something's up, like people know.
Oh, absolutely. Especially when you're coming from the Love is Blind world. Obviously, social media and television is where you became a couple. So it's already so public. So once you get off the show, you're doing content together. And you know, even with our own friends and like acquaintances, we see the shift happening. So just imagine them being like in the limelight or in the spotlight. You see it even more. You're like, he hasn't come around much. Like, where is he in any of these videos? You know,
100%.
The speculation is very high.
I'm really proud that they made the decision to separate because I do really feel like couples from Love is Blind that aren't doing well in the back end, they feel this like pressure to stay together because of like the attention they got from the show, the fact they got married on the show, and that's seen as like a success. And so I can't imagine how hard it was for her and him to like share this announcement.
Mm-hmm. People always say from our season, because all of the couples got a divorce, that it's a failure. And I like to think oppositely. I'm like, no, it takes so much strength to walk away from something that you know is not for you, but you have like the entire world or the public watching you. Like, that has to be the hardest thing ever. So I'm also very excited for her, like, to just like date. And she's just so bubbly and fun. Like, I'm excited for her too.
I hope she starts a series. Dating after divorce. But yeah, anyways, this, I will say, this was still a shock. I can't believe 4 years has passed since they filmed season 3. Like, that means, oh, I guess we filmed at the same time as them.
Because
I was like, was our season 5 years ago?
Yes.
But it's been 4 years. That's
it's been
crazy.
4 years. So much happens in 4 years. Oh my gosh, it's crazy to think about that.
I know. Speaking about another divorce, so Ashley from Love is Blind season 7 went on AD's podcast to talk about her divorce from Tyler. So if you guys forgot who Tyler was, because I sure did, he's the guy who said he was just a sperm donor, but sleuths on social media found out that he was not a sperm donor and said he legit had 3 kids that called him dad and he ghosted them to go on the show. And then he lied on the show saying, like, I'm just a sperm donor.
Honestly, are we surprised at all by this? I do think that a lot of fans are really pissed off at her because they're like, we told you so. Or like, you know, we warned you about him. Why are you just now figuring this out? And I feel like people need to calm down and give her some grace because no one goes through anything and learns their lesson from like a relationship or a divorce or a marriage without like actually going through the process. Like, if someone, like a friend, told me, hey, you're with the wrong person, I'm going to distance myself from that friend until I figure it out for myself. You know what I mean? Like, I think people need to just give her a little bit of grace and give her the time. Like, she needed time to figure it out. And she said throughout this interview, I needed hard evidence because Tyler's such a good liar. And honestly, that makes sense to me.
I had a different opinion.
I knew you would.
Obviously, I've stayed with men longer than I should have, even though they showed me their red flags literally on a platter.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think it's a fact for me that she never took accountability of how she addressed his children. Like, mm-hmm. she never was like, yeah, I should have never called them those children, those sperm donor children, which was so hurtful to them, I'm sure. Just like having this woman like dismiss his role as a father. And yeah, you could say like he was a good liar and like she just figured out the story, but that's not necessarily true. There were so many pictures of him spending the holidays with them, right? His mother even posted something about being a grandmother to these children. So it's like, you knew he wasn't just a sperm donor, and she still, like, it doesn't really sound like she sees anything wrong with how she addressed them.
Yeah, I think I do agree that I don't think that she handled things in the best way, but I still want to give her grace in the situation because I think Tyler is such a master manipulator. And even when there's so much hard evidence and so many red flags around you, when you're so deep into a relationship and you feel like you love them so much, you're in this bubble also of the Love is Blind world and having all these producers and just so much external noise around it, that once all of that goes away and you're sitting with all of the facts and you're finding hard evidence, like I think she mentioned, like she went through his computer and found some emails. I think when you start to finally realize that all of the evidence is actually facts and it's not just the internet, like, I don't know, creating some narrative around Tyler, I think that's when she started to really sit with it all and realized, okay, this man is not who he says he is. And I think that's why I'm like, okay, I understand her perspective on that. Do I think that she said all the right things and, you know, had compassion for other people who were involved in the situation? She probably needed to do more of that, for sure.
What was missing in the interview for me. So I was like, I totally get you're like kind of late to the game of being like, wait a minute, he definitely lied to me. But I was like, I feel like you should have also addressed the way you would talk about these children prior. Like, I feel like in this interview, she didn't take a lot of accountability. So for me, it was like, okay, if you realize like Tyler lied to you and all this stuff, like, shouldn't you also use this opportunity to like apologize to Bree, who was the mother of these children, who she still spoke negatively in this interview about? She's like, why did she have to do a 5-part series? Because literally the father of her children ghosted his kids.
Yeah.
So like things like that, I was just like, okay, like I hear it. And I was like, I totally understand if you like just realized, yeah, he played you. Cause you know, we've been in that situation where we were kind of late and we walked away way later than we should have. But I was like, I feel like you could also have, I don't know, apologized how you treated the mother of those children and to those children themselves.
I agree. I think two things can be the truth, right? Like, I do think she could have handled it differently and just had more empathy in talking about the situation. And I got like a little bit of dismissiveness from her too, from the interview. But at the same time, I'm also like kind of like trying to see the compassion side of the situation. And hopefully she like learns from it and realizes that it's not just Tyler that she hurt in this process. Like, I think, you know, there was other people involved that were also probably very hurt. And one day are going to see this whole situation. They're going to see like Tyler on television or see TikTok videos or see social media things. And it might negatively affect them in the future. So that is something that she should take accountability for.
Totally. What gets me really excited about the fact we did Love is Blind is that we have a really cool fun fact to share with our kids. Like in 15 years, and they could look, I'm sure they would Google it if I found out, you know, one of my parents was on a reality TV show, like if I was like 16 years old, I'd be like, well, let me just see. And I'm thinking about like when the kids do that, just like how much information there is out there and like what was said at the reunion. Like, oh, that literally breaks my heart. I will say, though, I was still very shocked at the backlash not only Ashley got, but AD got for this interview. I won't lie. AD was like definitely kind of like agreeing a lot with Ashley, which makes sense. I think that they, I don't think they're friends in real life, but they have met previously. So there's that, you know, when you're like, I'm not going to try to offend my guest type of mentality. But then AD said something where she's like, oh, I didn't watch like that 5-part series that the mother of Tyler's children made. So people were like, she didn't even do her research. Like, she's just here to kind of like give Ashley a platform to, you know, do whatever.
Anytime an interview gets so much visibility and exposure, because this interview got a lot of people talking, you're always going to have haters and negative people. And like, people are going to have a lot to say. But at the same time, Ashley is the one who's being interviewed. It's not Bree, you know, the mother of Tyler's children. So I kind of understand it, but I don't know. I don't know why, but I'm being very understanding in this episode.
People were expecting, you know, someone to keep Ashley's toes by the fire, keep her accountable. But I also know how hard it is when you are kind of friends with someone. It's like you wouldn't throw your friend under a bus in an interview. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just can't.
Yeah. And it's, and honestly, interviewing is such an art. Like, you have to be able to tiptoe the line of like, okay, I'm going to call out this person or this situation. But you have to do it so gracefully to the point where you don't offend your interviewee, you know?
Yeah. Where they could just stand up and walk out. And you're just like, well, that was the episode, folks.
Yeah. Honestly, that would make for a great clip. But yeah,
I know. But I was like, I think AD is kind enough where she wouldn't do that.
Yeah. And you know, every time we've had a guest on, there's always a podcast version of the conversation. And then there's the like the juicy conversation that doesn't make it because, you know, you're trying to like protect people's feelings and like kind of talk about what happened behind the scenes, all that stuff. You know, the conversation that happened after the mics went down, the cameras went down was so juicy 100%. Because I feel like Ashley was still in a way protecting Tyler and like she didn't say a lot of the details. Like, I think she like obviously spoke about it, but not to the detail that we would have wanted. But you know, AD has all those details. And I wish I was a fly on that wall.
Think about every interview we've done and like the requests we have gotten to take things out of those interviews because someone dropped something way too juicy.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure like the raw version of the interview was good.
Yeah. They're sleeping at night that night and they're like, oh no, what did I say? And they're having like anxiety over it. And they're like, hey, actually, can you take this out? Yeah.
But I thought it was great timing that as AD was getting this backlash, she announced with Ollie that they're expecting their first baby on Sunday is when they announced. Now everyone's like, can't give her too much heat because she's literally pregnant.
Yeah, you're like backtracking the comment as you're typing. You're like, wait a minute, delete.
I know, literally. People are probably like, I'm going to go back and delete that comment I made on her profile about, you know, how she didn't keep Ashley accountable.
Yes, absolutely. And when in the grand scheme of things, when you have something so exciting to announce, the rest of it kind of just like, you know, falls to the background. But I am so excited for them that they're having a baby. And also their announcement video, their pregnancy announcement video was so beautiful. A lot of people are like, is this AI? Because it was just so perfect. Like, they looked so gorgeous. I can't even explain it. Like, she had the pregnancy glow already. I was like, my gosh.
I feel like if it was me, like, I had a pregnancy video, it'd be me be like, coming down the hill, being like, oh, my. I'm pregnant. You know what I'm
honestly
saying?
Honestly, heels on a grass is crazy work. Like, she did great. A lot of people are slightly pissed off and not at AD or Ollie, but more so about production and Netflix kind of allowing AD and Ollie to announce their one, that they're getting married, so their engagement, and two, their pregnancy because it's kind of a spoiler for Perfect Match. And so they're kind of like, wait, why does this couple get to announce all of their big moments without Perfect Match airing first. And I kind of am like, I wonder why they're kind of being so loosey-goosey.
Or like why things are, it feels like things are being rushed. Like, I'm not sure, right? Mm-hmm. But I think what people are saying is that Perfect Match finished filming in the fall of 2024. Mm-hmm. And then just a few months later, like literally like 3-4 months later, they're engaged. And now 7 months later, they've announced their pregnancy. And so I think people are thinking that's why everything feels a little bit fast. Mm-hmm. I feel like they just have to do their own thing. Screw the show at this point.
Right.
Like, she's pregnant. So yeah. Let's get the ball rolling.
Exactly. And also, Perfect Match is not like Love is Blind, you know, to where they have to keep certain things in after filming has ended. You know, Perfect Match is more for people who have already done a reality TV show. So they already have this public platform and they, you know, like you said, don't want to hold things in. But I do have to say, how crazy is it that when you walk away from relationships that are not meant for you, there's just the perfect thing waiting for you at the end of the tunnel. Like, that's how I feel about both Ollie and AD. I feel like they kind of, I don't know, they found each other after this darkness of like things not working out in their Love is Blind seasons. And it just makes me happy for them. It almost gives me hope for us, but maybe not in the Love is Blind world, but you know what I mean.
No, I agree. I'm so happy, particularly for AD, because obviously she got left at the altar by Clay. And I feel like that was like a moment that was like really hard to watch. For Ollie, I feel like it was a little bit different for me because on Love is Blind UK, even though Demi was the one to say no at the altar, he definitely didn't want to be with her and he kind of led her on. So I don't know, like Ollie's kind of like a neutral character for me, but I do think that they're really cute together. I think that they seem very happy together and I'm really excited for them regardless.
Yeah. Yeah. They're right for each other and they were wrong for whoever they were with on Love is Blind. Yeah, exactly. And so sometimes that brings out the worst in you. But could you just imagine Clay is probably kicking rocks with open toed shoes right now. You know, he's just like, I don't know. I just would love to know. I'm sure we're going to get a video out of Clay soon because.
But I feel like, don't you feel like after that season and the way he acted, like he kind of didn't even want her in the first place?
Yeah, he has no room to talk at all.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's going to be like, I'm so happy for them, you know? Like, I'm sure he's going to be making a video.
Oh my God. I don't want to even see it. I'm very curious, though, how they're going to edit AD and Ollie's love story on Perfect Match season 3, because there's a lot of speculation online that Ollie was going to get a pretty negative edit on the show. Uh-huh. Because essentially what the real storyline is he was choosing other women over AD. People are speculating that Kinetic Content is going to edit that out or downplay Ollie's actions on the show. So it's more of like a positive story with him and AD. I never know how Kinetic Content works. Sometimes they edit really hard or other times they try to stick true to what happened in reality.
Yeah. And that's the power of editing, right? Like you can make it go one way or the other. The fact that we'll never know based on the edit is what is like kind of frustrating to me because I would love to see the actual like truthful storyline play out. Like even if it's a little rocky, like eventually they would find each other at the end and we know that already. So
yeah.
But I think sometimes Kinetic does downplay certain things so that they don't get as much heat at the end of the show. And I guess I understand it because they're trying to protect them. But at the same time, like you're in the reality TV space. Let's see some reality.
Either way, I'm really excited to watch Perfect Match season 3 because I just want to see how like AD and Ollie got together, like see a little bit more of their connection. And I think it'd be really, I actually think it'd be super exciting to watch knowing their outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Even though people are like, oh my God, you're spoiling it. Like they end up together and now they're having a kid. But I think that like sometimes it's really exciting when you already know how things are going to turn out and you see like the story of how it got there. Like imagine if we saw like our parents' love story
exactly
on a TV show, knowing they already end up together and had kids.
Yes.
You know, aka us. Like, yes, it's exciting.
Yes. It's like How I Met Your Mother, the TV show. And they're like, telling you the story. So yeah, I'm actually really excited about Perfect Match season 3. I think it's coming out this summer. So we're going to be on the lookout for that because, you know, we'll be watching.
I've heard some rumblings that they're going to try to put like some sort of ending to it with Adi and Ali. Like, you know how it's like the show kind of ends and then there's like a few minutes of like, here's an update on everyone's lives. Mm-hmm. I wonder if it's going to be like Adi and Ali's wedding.
I was thinking the same thing. Another Netflix wedding.
I know that's probably going to get backlash, but wouldn't that be really exciting? If I was in their shoes, I'd be like, hell yeah, I'm getting a free wedding.
Absolutely.
Are you going to film that shit?
I hope you throw in a free ring too. A free wedding band. Yes.
Look.
Absolutely. A baby moon by that point.
Yeah. I was like, got to save money for the baby.
Yes.
I would love to see that, but yeah. That's just me.
There's always backlash to everything, but you know, I feel like we see things from a different perspective and we'd be really excited to see it. So
yeah.
Well, speaking of babies, there is another pregnancy announcement, and it is our favorite couple, the OGs, Lauren and Cameron from season 1 of Love is Blind. They are having a baby. They just announced it. And this announcement is extra special because Lauren has been very vocal about how they've been trying for a few years and they've been going through IVF. And that's why this baby announcement just hit home. And I don't know, it just made my heart melt because, you know, they're the power couple. They're the it couple from Love is Blind. And, you know, their baby is going to be so beautiful.
Oh, 100%. In the LIB world, this is like the equivalent of the royal baby being announced, okay? Like, the franchise is done. Love is Blind was made so Lauren and Cameron could meet, and now they're having a baby. And there's no need for another season. The purpose of Love is Blind has been fulfilled. The next season of Love is Blind, like, I don't want to see 30 ding-dongs doing this all again. I want to see Lauren and Cameron raising their families. Okay.
Yes.
I don't need to see people like talking through a wall, people just getting engaged because they want screen time. Like, it's overdone. Okay. Like, we're done.
Yeah. I feel like every single couple after the first season has aspired to be like Lauren and Cameron for a reason. They are just, they had the purest love story from the entire franchise. And to see their love just exude, and now they're having a baby. I'm just so excited. If they had a reality TV show on just their family, you know I'd watch it.
I agree, though. Like, they are the standard that, like, every person who does Love is Blind, unless, you know, people just don't want to get married. Like, it's Lauren and Cameron. We even heard it when we were filming our season, where people are like, I want to be the next Lauren and Cameron, not from, like, an edit standpoint, but more so, like, finding that type of love where someone is just... where, you know, you just find the perfect fit. But also producers would use it too, being like, oh, like, you could be the next Lauren and Cameron, and it gets you really excited. So they have set a standard in the Love is Blind world. And I'm not going to lie, I kind of feel bad for Adi and Ali because Lauren and Cameron's announcement came a day after Adi and Ali's baby announcement. And yeah. I just couldn't imagine announcing my pregnancy, like if I was in Adi's shoes.
Yeah.
And then the king and queen announced theirs. And I'm like, oh, nothing matters.
Yeah. Honestly, if anything, I'm sure, like, I would just be like, our babies are going to be the same zodiac sign. Let's fucking go.
They're going to be play date buddies. I'd be so excited.
Mm-hmm. What makes me really happy also is to see Amber and Barnett. They just had their first baby too. And Lauren and Cameron and Amber and Barnett are very close. Mm-hmm. So I feel like their kids are going to be like cousins. Like, they're going to be so close as well. And I think, I don't know, it just, there's just so much joy and happiness right now in the Love is Blind world. And it's bringing me so much joy and happiness too.
Except for Colleen and Matt.
But that's happiness too, because you're walking away from something. Like, listen, if it's a toxic relationship, goodbye.
I feel so bad for saying that. That was...
I know what you meant, though. I know what you meant, though.
You know what I think about all these babies? Mm-hmm. I feel like now Kinetic Content has all these cast member options for season 30.
Yes.
You know,
it's going to be called Love is Blind Babies.
It's like the children of Love is Blind cast members.
Oh my gosh.
Imagine there's a love triangle between like Lauren and Cameron's kid, Zach and Bliss's kid, and Alexa and Brennan's kid.
Now, that is a reality TV show I would 100% watch as a 50-year-old.
Same. I'd be like, you know? Damn, yeah, these kids like, are all grown up. Who knew? Yeah. I'm telling you, I think that's going to happen. I can already see it. I really think it's going to happen. And now I feel like I have to produce a kid because I'm definitely going to get my kid on that show.
Yeah. But you better find someone from the Love is Blind world so that, you know, your kids could be cast for it. Because if you're going to date outside of the franchise, your kid ain't making it. He's or she is not getting casted.
She comes along and she's like this outsider, like, who's your father?
Yeah. No one I know.
Yeah. It's like, what season was he on?
Yeah.
They'd be like, who's your mom? And they'd be like, oh, Natalie from season two. Be like, that was so long ago. And that season was a failure. Like, yeah, they're no like, one who? Got married.
So and how did you come along?
Yeah. Be like, who's your dad?
Oh, crazy. How fun, though. There's just a lot. Lots going on in the franchise.
No, I love it.
Me too. I'm like, did we miss any news for anyone else? It's now is the time.
I could say one.
Natalie, I was like, do you have any announcements?
Well.
I was going to say, I find myself a nice boy from Spain.
You're going to be on Love is Blind Spain Edition. Like, I think it's coming.
Honestly, I would move to Spain for Love is Blind Spain Edition.
Yeah. And then that's going to be your child who's going to join Love is Blind Baby Edition. Your kid could be like, my father is from Love is Blind Spain. Like, where's your dad from? Love is Blind UK?
Right. I'm like, my parents are bilingual.
Be like, I'm a product of cross-country seasons, okay? Literally, can you imagine? Oh my God, you know what? I'm going to date someone from Love is Blind Brazil.
Beautiful.
Mm. Anyways, okay.
No notes.
So excited for all these Love is Blind babies.
We're so excited.
We're really excited for the royal baby. And you know what? I think AD and Ali's baby, that's the prince/princess. Oh. I don't want to like forget about that baby. But super exciting news. I love that the Love is Blind baby world is growing. And I can't wait to see them on TV in 30 years.
Yeah. No notes. You know what else is crazy that I heard recently? And we talked about this also a few episodes ago, so you're going to love this update, Natalie.
What?
But JoJo Siwa, I believe, is dating Chris Hughes? Question mark?
I saw this and I actually gasped because these two tried so hard to tell everyone, we're just platonic friends. And then I saw a picture of them kissing in Mexico.
Yes. Okay. Honestly, I didn't think that this was going to be a thing because I don't know, maybe they just were in this big brother world together and there was like a little bit of crush or like some intimacy. But the fact that they are probably full on dating because it was recently JoJo's birthday and she made like a cute little birthday post. And the first picture in this carousel is her and Chris and they're super cuddly and lovey dovey together. And then also, like, there's another picture of them in this carousel of him holding her leg. So, like, they're obviously dating. They have to be dating.
It's definitely more than a friendship. It's more than a platonic friendship, for sure.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I cannot believe this is happening, though. Like, first of all, how did JoJo Siwa get a boyfriend before us?
Look, she's 21, okay? I feel like I moved quick at 21, too.
That's true.
But I will say the only thing that bothers me about this news, like, first of all, it was super shocking because I was like, okay, maybe they just are platonic. Like, and look, I don't know a lot about Chris Hughes, but people are like, he's kind of just like kind of a clout chaser is like his reputation. He kind of just does things for attention. So I think people are like, they are just friends, but they're making it flirty for attention, like mostly on Chris's part being inauthentic. And it looks like the real deal, according to like what they're posting and, you know, the snaps of them kissing in Mexico. But I feel like this is so typical when like two people know they're doing something wrong and they lie. Just like JoJo and Chris were lying that their relationship was platonic. Like, I think that they totally lied because they knew they were doing something wrong when they were flirting on Big Brother when JoJo was in a relationship with Kath Ebbs. And if they said it was more than a friendship, it would obviously look like JoJo was cheating. So,
I mean, like on the one hand, like you sometimes when you're in a situation, you don't realize you're like gaining feelings. But let's call a spade a spade. Is that the saying?
I don't know. It's a saying, but I don't know if it's a saying for this.
But what I'm trying to say with the spade thing is that you could literally see them flirting, cuddling, and getting very close on Big Brother in front of our eyes for the whole world to see. Let's call it what it is. And now they've confirmed that that is exactly what was happening. And am I happy for them? Sure. Am I also sad for Kath? Yeah, because that sucks.
No, I would, if I was Kath, I'd be very, very hurt right now.
I would be so upset. Also, I didn't realize that Chris is an OG Love Islander. Like, I knew he was on Love Island, but apparently he was like on one of the first few seasons because my friend mentioned that to me. And now I kind of want to go look up how old he is. 32. This man is 32 years old. Chris is 32 years old and JoJo is 21.
Which wouldn't be a big age difference if it was like 26 and 36 or 30 and 40. I feel like 21 and 32 is a lot. And it's so crazy because I remember seeing comments about JoJo and Kath's breakup. And they're like, well, Kath is 27 and JoJo is 21. So, you know, like Kath can't be that mad. Chris is even older than Kath. So what are you guys saying right now? Doesn't this kind of remind you of Sarah and Joey from Love is Blind season 8, where they did that interview being like, we're not together. We're just like friends trying to figure it out. And I was like, you guys are liars. You're just saying that because if you guys said right now you guys are dating and in a relationship, then the timeline would overlap with the fact that you consoled, what's her name? Monica. Mm-hmm. While you were secretly dating her ex-fiance, Joey. So that it's the same thing where it's like, you know what? I feel like you're totally right. Like when something looks like something, it probably is that something. Are saying it's not that something.
Oh, look at us trying to figure out the definition. It's right though. You're totally right. And honestly, the whole Sarah and Joey thing is just so annoying to me. Just say that you're dating. No one's gonna care.
Like, no, I think a lot of people would care because I feel like Sarah throughout the show was like, she really was all about being like a high value woman and mm-hmm. just like being morally correct and right. And I feel like if it kind of showed she went behind Monica's back and was like lying to Monica about her relationship with Joey, like it would just look so bad.
Yeah. But like at this point, even if they announced that they were dating now, like none of that would even come to play anymore. Yeah. Like, I feel like the next thing they're going to do is they're going to be engaged or married and they're going to be like, hello, like it's already happened, but we don't know, like no labels. You know, like we signed some marriage papers, or you know, we signed a license, but
yeah, like Joey and Sarah's getting married and they're like, it's not that serious though.
Imagine their kids on this Love is Blind spinoff kids show. They're like, my parents are cool parents. They don't like to set relationship statuses.
If Sarah and Joey had a kid and their kid was on Love is Blind season 30 with all the LIB babies, I feel like Monica's baby will bully the shit out of them. Her kid would like come on in and be like, bitch.
No, it would be a plot twist.
I know
twist.
What your mom did.
Yeah. And it would be a plot twist. It would be Monica and Ben's baby because there's speculation there too.
And you know, our babies are going to be like, oh my God, what's happening in the corner there?
No, they're just be like, I choose myself. He's like, wait, I kind of love this. I love this theory because
it's
not really
a theory.
Here.
It's a concept I'm going to pitch to Kinetic Content.
You heard it here first, folks. Patent
heard
that
it here.
Shit.
100%. You know I will. I feel like Lauren and Cameron would be the host,
right?
Yeah.
Or it's just someone.
Or Vanessa
and
Nick's kid.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
They do have kids.
They have kids.
Would be the host.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait.
Oh,
I'm so excited for this series. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. All the parents would be in the audience.
No, the meet the parents scenes.
Mike.
I'd be like, meet the parents scenes. Bartice's son ends up with my daughter? How dare he?
This could never work.
I'd be like, excuse me, over my dead body. I would love it. I would actually legitimately watch it.
I think I would too.
I know that you're a Real Housewives fan, so can I tell you what I read? It's
yes.
Like kind of crazy to me. So Sonia Morgan from Real Housewives of New York, she was banned from a New York City restaurant recently because she refused to pay a $1,000 bill. Like, she made a scene about paying this. She asked to speak with the owner. And the reason why she refused to pay is she thought that the meal should be free because she thought it would be like a post exchange, like where she posts the meal on her social media and gets a free meal in exchange. Mm. And anyways, it made the news. Like, people were just like, what? Just pay the damn bill.
Honestly,
like, it wasn't a post exchange.
This is so on brand for Sonia because she is so chaotic, and it does not surprise me whatsoever because this is very Sonia behavior.
But you know what it reminds me of? Like, we even know influencers in Chicago that do this. Mm-hmm. Like, they everyone loves a little freebie.
Yeah. Oh,
but
yeah.
Like, you've got people who will literally not eat at a restaurant unless it's comped because they want to do like a post exchange. You post in return for a free meal. And I was hanging out with this influencer who has like 50,000 followers, which is still a lot because she was an organic content creator. But she literally lives like that. She's like, I won't go out to eat at a restaurant unless it's comped. And I was like, that's crazy.
No, that's actually kind of wild. I'm like somewhat the opposite. Like, obviously, I love a free comped meal because I think it's so sweet. And I feel like I have to go over and beyond to make sure that I'm posting correctly. And that stresses me out and I'm not enjoying my meal. So I'd be like, no, let me just pay for it. Like, let me just pay for it so I can just eat in peace.
That's how I am. Like, yeah. I was just like, no, I'm just going to pay because I don't want to post. Like, I don't want to take pictures of every little thing that I eat. I just want to enjoy my meal. And, you know, like, I just feel embarrassed getting something free. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But anyways, she's completely banned. A few days later, she went back to the restaurant to pay the bill with a big tip because of all the attention the story was getting. But I heard this recently that a lot of reality TV show stars have some sort of level of narcissism.
Yes, absolutely. And you know what's crazy is I wonder if we're talking about the same video that we saw. I saw a clip of this podcast where they were talking about how social media in general is increasing narcissistic traits in people. And it doesn't even have to be reality stars or celebrities or content creators. It's even normal people, average people that are posting their lives. They're also getting a lot of narcissistic traits. So imagine being a reality TV star and you getting all the attention. Your narcissistic traits are probably increasing so much by the year, you know? So I totally believe it.
No, I was going to say, but don't you feel like, you know, people like that where they kind of expect a comped meal?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I could name three people from the Love is Blind franchise. I was actually with a cast member and she's like, I bet we could get bottle service here. And I was like, I don't want it. I was like, I don't want to be like, excuse me, I was on Love is Blind. I was like, I'm out.
That is the most,
I'll pay for my own bottle.
Embarrassing thing to do for yourself where you're like, do you know me? Like, I was on the show. That I would be so icked out with myself if I ever did that. Like, honestly, slap me in the face if I ever do that.
Like, I was like, how are you going to even start that conversation? But this cast member who wasn't from our season, she was like, no, it works sometimes.
It's a thing.
And I was like, don't do it. Yeah. I was like, please.
You were just giving SpongeBob there.
Yeah, no, literally in that voice. I was like, you know, when you get so embarrassed, you're like, yeah, just don't.
And they're bringing out the big sign that's like, LIB in the house. You're like, no. And then you get a text from the bouncer or like the club the next day. Hey, we haven't seen a post yet.
Or like afterward, they're like, so here's your bill.
Yeah, here's your bill.
And you're like, oh, $3,000.
You're like, the $300 bottle of champagne was comped, but the rest of it, not comped.
And I was like, wow, people have some narcissistic confidence that, I mean, I wish I had sometimes, but I just really don't.
I think the sense of entitlement that comes with even micro influencers sometimes is just wild to me. But it is also at the same time kind of human for your ego to be fed in that way. But yeah, I think we all have to be brought back down to earth. We ain't that cool. We're really not.
Because like, think about how uncool we are. The fact that we went through like 20 interviews to get on Love is Blind. Imagine telling someone that without actually having been chosen to be on the show. And you're just like, oh yeah, I went through the interview process to be on a reality TV show. I filled out a 500 question questionnaire. Like, it's like, I was like, we're That's weirdos crazy. And losers. I was like, don't forget it. Don't forget where we came from.
You know what this just reminded me of? You know how a few episodes ago you were talking about how embarrassing it is to go on dating apps and put your profession, like your job title and where you work? I went through the exact same embarrassment when I created my profile because I was like, what do I put here? I literally put hidden. I was like, hide it. I don't even know what to say.
I put podcast host. I feel like that's the only respectable thing I can put.
Then they're going to go listen to the podcast. And then I'm like, I don't need you to be listening quite yet. You know, this is, I'm still at Ola. Like, we're still at Ola.
We haven't even gotten to Como Estas, okay?
Literally. You know what I'm going to go by? I don't know. I think I told you this, but I use a pseudo name for my like DoorDash Uber Eats. I should just go by that name.
I have a story for you. I have a story for you about that name.
Yeah.
So I know the name you're talking about.
Yes.
And so I walked into Deepti's building and the receptionist obviously recognized me because I used to live there. And I was like, oh, I'm here for Deepti's apartment. And she goes, oh, I knew you were friends with someone here, like that the other woman I see you with all the time. And I was like, yeah, it's Deepti. And she goes, yeah, I swear. I don't think it's Deepti, though. Like, I think it's another name. And she goes, because I got her food delivery. And it was the pseudonym you use. And she goes, is that her real name?
Crying.
And I was like, uh-huh. I was like, it sure is.
Crying. I'm crying.
I was like, Deepti's a nickname.
No, there's been multiple times when security, our receptionist, has called me and been like, you have a food delivery, but it's not in your name. And I'm like, oh, can you add it to the notes that that is going to be my name for like delivery? So she's probably so confused.
Yeah. And she's like,
she looks at the notes and she's like, oh. I'm confused. Deepti for this, but blank beep for DoorDash.
No, literally. And I was like, she probably thinks you're strange.
Oh, no. She probably thinks I'm very weird. I'm not going to lie. Well, next time you're here for our next episode, when you're come back to your old building, you should be like, I'm here for beep.
Wait for burp, burp, burp.
Okay. Beep,
burp, burp. That's the name you should use, though.
Yeah. Anyways, on that note, Pod Besties, see you next Wednesday.
And make sure you leave a review and subscribe.
Bye.